Hey, everybody.
That we're fine to hear.
I'm Mary Beth.
And I'm Laura.
Welcome back to Tales from the Putout Closet.
It's episode 3 already.
Episode 3.
I'm just counting from, you know, like when we started this year.
I understand. Yes. Yes.
Maybe we should number the episodes.
I have been on the podcast.
Oh, nice.
Like if people out there in podcast land are finding us, they're numbered.
Oh, good thinking.
Thanks. I like to, you know, I like to see what's up. So... just as a reminder, if you want to go back from last fall and listen to Frankenstein, we did that as a podcast series, and that is out there available for your listening pleasure out there in podcast land and on YouTube.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah, it was fun.
Go team Little Frank.
So tonight we have lots more voicemails. People have been busy. People have been leaving us some voicemails.
My theory is it's going to really catch on. Mm-hmm. We had a really good story last week. From viewers or / subscribers, listeners. And it really goes with the theme that we intended the
tales.
The title to be.
That's right. So before we get into the voicemails, let's just quickly run down how our week has gone real quick. How about that?
Yeah, that's part of our format.
Yeah.
You start.
Okay. So let's see. Monday night. Okay, so you had a sale Monday.
Yes,
on Monday.
I was a guest on a YouTube show called We Are Vintage.
Okay.
With a namer Amy and the traveling button Sarah mm-hmm. Coleman. And that was really fun. And their format on their YouTube show is they talk for an hour, like a get to know you kind of thing with vintage resellers, and then they have a mini sale and we all sold something.
Awesome.
Uh-huh. So that was really fun.
Tuesday was sort of our night off. We didn't really do a lot on Tuesday. Wednesday is the night that we had Ella.
Oh, Ella.
So our friend's daughter, our friend needed us to watch her daughter for a few hours Wednesday night. So we had Ella for a while. We did a members only chat and Ella was on and she had a great time.
Oh my gosh. It was really, really fun.
Yeah.
She's, you know, super smart. And she always talks about YouTube.
Yeah.
And I think she's secretly wanted for a couple of years to do something on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And on the spur of the moment, we were just like, hey, you want to do this with us? And she was like, at first she was like, I don't know. I'm kind of scared.
I'm kind of nervous.
And we're like, well, you don't have to.
And she goes, no, okay, I'll do it.
So I want to do it.
So then Thursday night, we record these on Fridays.
Yes.
So last night was a Thursday for us, and we had a big estate sale, a big sale on Vintage Quartet.
Yes, and I went to an estate sale.
And Laura went to an estate sale.
Earlier in the day.
Yeah. And it's Friday now.
So it's a full reseller week.
A full week. Man.
We're leading up to our vacation.
We are. Vegas, here we come.
It's a business trip / vacation.
It is.
Yep.
Exactly. Okay, so should we just jump right into some voicemails?
I think maybe we should because
we have more this week than usual.
Yeah, and keep them coming, everybody.
Keep them coming. That reminds me.
Yes.
If you want to send us a voicemail, you can do that. You can call 731-335-6108. And that goes straight to a Google voicemail box. So you don't have to worry about talking to anybody. You can just leave a message and we'll answer it.
Yeah, and you can leave a question. You can leave a story. We've got two really good stories tonight.
Yes.
And some questions. And that just makes for a fun mix. It gives us something to talk about and it lets you guys be a part of the show with us.
That's right. Okay, so there's our phone number up on the screen.
Can I say it?
Sure. Again, if you're listening, here's that voicemail number.
731-335-6108.
All right. Good job, Laura. All right. So we're going to go to the first voicemail.
I get such pleasure out of that.
Are you stoked?
Yes.
All right.
I'm excited.
Don't forget, Laura. Laura likes to talk while the voicemails are happening. They won't be able to hear you.
Okay. Make sure the volume's up so I can hear.
Okay. Volume is going up so Laura can hear. And away we go.
This is Brenda Summerfield. On YouTube, I'm also known as Fields of Summer. I thoroughly enjoy spending my Friday nights with you, and I have a lot of questions, but the one I'm going to ask is, how did you choose orange and blue for your logo colors? Those were my high school colors, by the way. So please keep the fun coming, and I will keep giving little purple hearts. Thanks again, girls. Bye-bye.
Wasn't that sweet?
Yeah, thank you so much. Fields of Summer.
Yeah.
Yes. I recognize her from the comments.
Brenda, right?
Brenda.
Brenda, thank you for your question. That's a great question.
I'm glad you've got a lot of questions. Just send one every week.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
So I know we talked on our first podcast about how we got our name, and we've talked about that before. You know, Laura and I were painting concrete statuary at the time. The Fat Bird was actually the very first piece that we sold, so that's what we went with. So blue and orange, Laura, you may not even know why I chose blue and orange.
I know you really like blue and orange.
I do.
And they are complementary colors.
Yes.
Right?
They are.
that's all I know.
Okay, so I was a sports kid in high school, right? So our colors were red and gray at Livingston Central. You know, almost every school around was either so like blue or blue and gold or, you know.
Mine was blue and white. That's Paducah.
Blue and white. Nikki was blue and gold. So, but Marshall County was blue and orange.
Oh, I know. That's what I was going to say. I was going to say our nemesis.
Marshall County.
was blue and orange.
Marshall County. And I hated Marshall County in high school, but their uniforms always looked awesome. I loved their colors. And my dad sent me to a basketball camp when I was little, when I was like in grade school, to a basketball camp in Marshall County. Mm-hmm. And I came back out with my orange and blue shirt from basketball camp. And I was so proud. I loved those colors so much. I always wish that our school was orange and blue. I think I said that wrong just a second ago. Blue and orange and blue. That's what I was really into. So I was always really attracted to that, and I think that's probably why I chose it.
Nice.
So there you go.
Well, thanks, Brenda. I didn't even really know that.
When I played sports, we were always red. Red and gray or red and navy. Always. And I always wanted to play a different color, but I never really did.
Nice.
Except when I was like younger and we were like weird t-ball teams and stuff, you know.
Well, now for this team, you're blue and orange.
Blue and orange
you're
now.
You're team orange. I'm team blue.
I chose my own path with my own colors.
We do have t-shirts available. Mary Beth's is team orange and mine's team blue.
Yep.
It's funny.
That's true. That is true. Good question. Thank you so much, Brenda. All right. You ready for the next one?
Yep. Let her go.
All right, let's change it over.
Hi, Mary Beth and Laura. This is Jonna Cook, and I'm from Carthage, Illinois, and I'm going to be visiting Louisville, Kentucky in July on the 5th through the 8th, and I was just wondering if there were any things that I should do while I'm visiting Louisville. I love you guys. I watch you every Friday night, and you are the highlight of my Friday. You guys are really awesome, and hopefully I can learn some things from you to start reselling vintage and antiques. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jonna.
Thank you so much. That's so nice. Everybody's so nice.
Everybody's the best.
Maybe that's why we like this so much.
So, Jonna, so nice. Jonna is visiting Louisville, I think she said July 5th, which is a shame because they have a big fireworks show in Louisville, right? What is it? Thunder Over Louisville or something?
Thunder on the River?
Thunder on the River.
Thunder Over Louisville.
Maybe. But that's a big fireworks display show. It's a great big deal. I mean, people come from all over.
It's like a big drunken festival.
Nikki says it's like a big drunken festival.
It's like in May, though.
Is it? I thought it was 4th of July. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it's not at 4th of July.
I stand corrected.
Yeah, because I think, right? Because I think it's like right after or around Derby time.
I guess so. I would have to look that up. Man, I'm sorry, Jonna. I was
maybe I should look it up while you're talking to Jonna.
I will say, Jonna, that I did notice that you said Louisville in your question. So we will give you a tip. The locals say Louisville. You say it like you're just so put out with...
Did Jonna say where she's from?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I think she did. I think she said Illinois.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I don't have the transcript in front of me. But yeah, you have to say it like you're just really lazy and put out with the world. I'm going to Louisville. Like you're a little intoxicated.
That's so great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know that Megan, when she played volleyball, there would be volleyball tournaments. And we couldn't get anywhere to stay. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm going to look it up.
Laura's looking it up.
You're gonna probably believe
on the fly.
Prove me wrong.
So yeah, as far as other things to do in Louisville, of course, there's the Louisville Slugger Museum.
No, it says returns April 22nd, 2023.
We were both wrong.
Well, I said around May.
You said Derby time.
Around Derby time.
Well, Derby's in May. That's in April.
Well, around that time frame. I mean, that's just a week away from May.
Well, actually, it's 2 weeks away, but we'll give you that. Anyway, Jonna. So let's see. The Louisville Slugger
Museum. We're having a domestic.
Is in Louisville. I'm not a frequenter of Louisville.
Me either. That's the problem. I wish if I had. We try to do these questions, you know, live. So if I had known ahead of time, I would have studied.
Yeah. We'll have to look into that for you. So she's going in July.
She's.
Yeah, there's the racetrack.
I'm pretty sure she's probably talking about places to shop vintage.
Yeah, we're just not really frequenters of the Louisville area.
My kids live in Lexington.
Right.
But that's far enough away from Louisville that we don't get over there.
If anybody that's watching is around the Louisville area, be sure to leave comments in this video for Jonna so that she can come back and check out what she needs to be doing.
I know they have, there's a couple of big flea markets, so you need to look up the times for those. I don't know if they're around the 4th of July or not, but, and I know, I think George, the antique nomad, knows, he goes to those. Maybe like, it's, you know, like a play on Fleur-de-Lis. I think it's Florida Flea.
Oh, I think you're right.
And so that's kind of cool. And there's something about under the bridge or something like that. But we're not knowledgeable about this. So we need to study. And I'll put some things in the comments.
Okay.
How about that? I'll pin them in the comments.
We'll pin them in the comments. We'll give you all sorts of ideas.
And hopefully you guys listening and watching will do the same.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. On to the next.
Okay.
Shall we?
Hi, Mary Beth and Laura. This is Julie Bug Treasures. I got a weirdo, silly question. This was asked of me years ago. Would you eat a big live cockroach for $1 million? Now, I have asked many people since, and every single person says, hell no. My answer is yes. I would take a mere seconds out of my life, somehow, as disgusting as it is, get it down, hold my nose, whatever, and then enjoy $1 million. My answer is always yes on this, so I just thought I'd see what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
Julie, it's just such a pleasure.
Julie Bug.
Yes.
Isn't that cute?
Thanks for calling, Julie. So, Laura, I will let you answer first.
Oh, I can't.
You've got one of those big,
I can't deal with that.
Juicy, hissing cockroaches in front of you. And I'm offering it to you.
Here's the problem.
And I'll say, I'll give you $1 million if you eat this.
Oh, I can't. I mean, it's just making me, I can't stand it. Because here's the thing. The choice is you either have to swallow it immediately whole.
No, because
you know, but then can you imagine? What if you can feel? What if it got stuck in your throat and you can feel it?
Oh
my God! So then the alternative is you've got to chew it. You've got to crunch it right off the bat. I can't even stand to step on one. How could I crunch it in my mouth?
Oh, you have to.
Oh God,
you have to. It's $1 million.
Would you be mad at me if I declined that?
Yes, I would be pissed off.
You could just get super, like, stoned or not.
Oh, God.
Like, take something where you don't know where you are or who you are.
Oh.
So,
I don't know. I would have to. I would have to be out of my mind.
Here's the thing. I mean, does an attempt count? Because I'm afraid that I wouldn't be able to keep it down, is the thing. I feel like I would get sick.
I don't think an attempt counts.
Well, I would give it my very best effort.
Oh,
I would give it a real good shot. It's $1 million, Laura. You know how much good we could do in the world with $1 million?
Yes.
A lot of good.
Yes.
Do you mean people $1 million would feed?
So just to be safe, then, you'd have to take small bites of it. To ensure that you keep it down. You'd have to do it in like 3 bites.
Maybe if it's alive, I can just like kill it like that and just put it in my mouth real fast and swallow it.
Oh, God. It's so bad.
It's so bad, Julie, but I think the answer is, at least, I would give it my very best effort in the whole world. Do you know how much gambling we could do with $1 million?
Oh, my gosh.
We could go put it all on red and potentially win another $1 million.
I mean, it would be...
Lose $1 million.
It would be such a disappointment to everybody if I said no.
Oh, you've got to do it.
Yeah, you got
it. If anybody wants to offer me $1 million, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, you better have proof of it.
Here's the bigger question.
Proof of the million.
Here's the bigger question. At what amount of money do you say no?
Yeah.
That's the bigger question.
You know, how shallow are we?
Right. Like $100,000?
I thought you were going to say $100.
$100,000? Yeah, I'm doing it. I pay off my house. Could pay off your house.
Oh my gosh.
$5,000? Is it worth it for $5,000? Maybe.
The trauma that would follow after,
could put a down payment on a small vehicle or something with $5,000. Could take a pretty nice trip with $5,000 versus one little huge, juicy, hissing cockroach.
Don't get close to me with that cockroach.
What do you think about $5,000?
No.
I would probably still give it a shot.
But see,
anything less than $5,000, I'm probably out. That's probably my limit right there.
Okay, well, now we know.
Great question. That's really given us a lot to think about.
I'm grossing out again.
Laura's going to have nightmares.
I can't deal with it.
All right, next. Thanks, Julie. Here we go.
Hey, it's me. I'm finally calling in. Sorry it took me so long. I know I was going to call in and leave the burrito story, right? Just in case anybody hadn't heard it yet, if you have new viewers. And since this is a podcast, you know, maybe some podcasts listeners hadn't heard it yet. But after listening to your last episode, you guys were talking about the possibility of traveling across the country by vehicle, right? To come to see me in California, I'm assuming. Excellent idea, by the way. Highly recommend. Now, I am a seasoned road tripper. That was the primary mode of vacationing that my family did as a kid. I didn't even fly on an airplane until I was 15, and I didn't fly on an airplane with my family until I was like a grown adult. So we just never went anywhere by plane. We always drove. So I thought, as an adult, I knew how to do this because I always road tripped as a kid. But I'm going to tell you a story now about the first time I was kind of in charge of a road trip and was the, like, responsible adult for the first time. It was never a good idea to make me be the responsible adult. So, okay, throwback to when I'm, like, 24-ish, so, you know, the good old days. And my younger cousin and I were very, very into the Angels baseball team, primarily, largely in part because baseball players are smoking hot, and we were young hormonal girls. So we went to spring training. Now, my cousin at the time was like, I think 16 or 17. I know she was a minor and I was in my mid 20s because I called it the contributing to the delinquency of a minor trip. But aside, that's a whole other story, which I may call in and tell that story someday too, because this is Tales of the Put Out Closet, right? Like, this is like, where's the putting out? So far, everything's been all like, oh, we were reunited after so many years. Oh, everything's so wonderful. Oh, you girls are so awesome. This is a great show. No, where's the smut? Where's the good, dirty, dark, and raunchy stories? I'm waiting. And I'll help. Trust me. I got plenty of those up my sleeve. But we're starting with a mild one here. So my cousin Megan and I go out to Tempe, Arizona for spring training. And we stay for, you know, like a long weekend. We see a few games and then we have a day.
Okay, wait.
Okay, so she got cut off. So she's left three. If anybody's curious, this is Jamie.
I started to say, she didn't say who she was.
This is Jamie, Mid-Century Wasted. Mid-Century Wasted is her YouTube channel.
Right.
So this is Jamie. And she's left three voicemails, so it seems as though she's gotten cut off there.
So keep that in mind when you call with a story.
I think your limit is 3 minutes. We didn't know that until Jamie called.
But it works. She calls back and it'll pick right up where you left off. So if you get cut off, just call back and start where you were.
Right. So that's good to know. Jamie, I think here in a second, says, you didn't tell us that we had a limit. I didn't know.
We didn't know.
So
now we know.
All right. So let's go to her next segment.
Can't wait.
Okay. So I got cut off by your voicemail. You didn't warn us ahead of time that there was a time limit. I'm going to sit here and ramble for 10 minutes if you don't tell me I got like 30 seconds to leave a voicemail. Holy crap. Okay, so fast version. We see a couple games. We have a day off where we don't have a game, and then we have to go back to Tempe and have it as another game. So in that day off, we decide to drive to the Grand Canyon. Now, from Tempe to the Grand Canyon, it's across most of Arizona. In Tempe, the temperature was in the 70s. We were wearing shorts and tank tops, and it was spring. This was like March time for spring training. And we hop in my 2001 Toyota Echo, which if you've ever seen one of those, you know it is powered solely by hamster power. And we start driving to the Grand Canyon. As we are driving north, all of a sudden we start getting these wild crosswinds, right? And I'm very perplexed and confused. And I am the one, again, the responsible adult here on this trip. And so it's getting really windy, kind of stormy. We're both looking at each other like, okay, well, it's fine. And then I start running out of gas. And this is rural territory here, right? Here's the second thing I didn't think of. Where are the gas stations? How far? What is the distance between gas stations? Didn't ever think about that before as the responsible adult on a road trip. So we're running out of gas. We finally see a gas station. Turned out the high winds had knocked the power out of the gas station completely. So there is no gas. So we have to just keep on going. And we finally, like, we're getting there. We're finally getting close. The gas is, like, so far on empty, I don't even know what was happening. Like, the wind was pushing us the rest of the way. And then as we're almost to the Grand Canyon, all of a sudden it starts to freaking snow. It starts to snow on my car. Megan and I look at each other. We're wearing shorts, flip-flops, and tank tops. We have absolutely no protection whatsoever on us. We roll into the Grand Canyon on fumes, and they tell us at the pay station, the visibility is very poor, but you might want to go ahead and go in. It might clear up. It might not, but we just want to warn you. So we're like, whatever. We drove like 4 hours. We're not going to just turn around and go home. So we go in, fill up with gas for like, I don't know, $9 a gallon because it's inside of a national park and it's always way more expensive. There's another road trip tip. Don't fill up your gas in a national park. We finally park. It's fully snowing. We're freezing our tuchuses off. We walk up to like a viewing area and it was like standing on the edge of a pier on a foggy day. We could have been standing overlooking the ocean.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We got cut off again.
And the funny part is, if you happen to be watching and not just listening, she has sent me an adjoining picture.
Oh, good.
For this. So should I show that now or should I wait till she finishes
let's wait
the story?
Let's wait till the end.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So let's listen to this is the final installment.
Third time's a charm. I am going to go down in history as the person who has to call in the most amount of times to get one story out. So anyway, we walk up to the edge. We might as well have been standing on a pier overlooking the ocean on a foggy day for all we knew. We had absolutely zero view of the Grand Canyon. We took some really funny pictures standing on the edge like, hey, look, we went and saw the Grand Canyon. And there's nothing. It's completely white behind us. So we drove all that way. We almost ran out of gas. We almost froze to death in the snow because we're stupid Californians and don't understand snow at all. And to see nothing, absolutely nothing. Drove back to Tempe, and then it was, 80 degrees again. So road trip story and lesson number one from me, always check the weather wherever you are going because it could be 80 degrees just a couple hours away from snow. Lesson number two, map out where the gas stations are because you don't know how far you have until, it's not the city. There could be a lot of miles between gas stations. Didn't know that. And lesson number three, don't contribute to the delinquency of a minor. That will be the next part of the story of the fun stuff that happened while we were in Tempe. And I'll call in someday and tell you how we partied with the owner's wife of the Angels and the manager and all of like the high up mucky mucks in a penthouse at spring training fully by accident. So that's my teaser for the next call. Also, I want to know, has any crazy things happened to you guys whilst on vacation? There's my question for you. All right. Love you guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
Can I just call bullshit on Jamie? She did not hang out in a penthouse with like the Angels.
I can't wait for that story. That better be the
for
next
office or whatever.
If you guys don't know, you should join us on Friday nights because we get these stories in the chat. And Jamie is always one-upping everything that's happening.
Everything.
She's met some celebrity or she knows somebody or has a ticket to something or has been somewhere.
She's hanging out with the front office of the Angels.
So, yeah, she can't just go on a trip to somewhere like a normal person. It has to be like she's met the president of the United States.
Right. So, for those who are watching on YouTube, why don't you show the picture?
Okay.
Here, let me show it. Oh my gosh.
This would be so me. That would be so me. Look at that.
I mean, that's terrible. You can't see anything.
I mean, she's right. They might as well be at the side of the road somewhere or on some boat.
Oh.
Like at Niagara Falls or something. That's what I should have just showed the picture and had you guess where she was.
Yeah.
That's what I would have guessed. Maiden of the Mist or something, right. At Niagara Falls.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
She's at the Grand Canyon.
That's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
That's the worst.
That's something I would do, though. Like, I would keep on going and be like, by God, we're going to the... I mean, I know it's snowing, but we're here. We're an hour away or whatever. We're doing it.
Right.
That's what I would do. I'm always down for doing it.
Right. So those are some great travel tips, though. So at one point in my life, I was on this kick where I was watching this British television show on YouTube, and it was called something like I Shouldn't Be Alive. And so it was about these people who found themselves in just ridiculous circumstances, like they accidentally floated out to sea on their little rowboat, or they were on a trail in the rainforest and got off trail somehow and ended up like 7 miles into the jungle. Or they're hiking down the Grand Canyon and get stuck. And anyway, it's just these horrible stories. you know, they're
making bad decisions.
Yeah, climbing a mountain and ends up a snowstorm. It's something along the lines of what Jamie's describing. But always, in every one of these stories, there is one decision that they make that's like the worst decision they could have made. It's like their fatal flaw. In this show.
Well, yeah, or it would be a different story.
Like, the girl's going, wants to go off and try to find help, but she leaves her backpack because it's too heavy.
Yeah.
Don't do that. It's got your water in it. Don't do that. Or the guy that's like, I don't know. It's just ridiculous. But I think it's called I Shouldn't Be Alive, and it's on YouTube. It's very, very entertaining.
Yeah, I'm so glad Jamie's story didn't end up, you know, tragically, because, I mean, I think that was a bad decision to keep going from. I mean, I think the fate or whatever was trying to tell her something when there was a windstorm strong enough to knock out the power to the only gas station within hours away from each other. I mean, I think she probably should have stayed put and called an Uber or waited till the power came back on to get some gas.
So I'm always like looking out in my life for that one fatal flaw situation. Like, oh, was that my fatal flaw? Like, I was driving the car actually today with Nikki, and she took off her seatbelt to grab something in the back. I was like, oh, if we were in a movie or if we were on that show, that would be your fatal flaw. You need to put your seatbelt back on. Anyway, I was like, I know I'm ridiculous, but it was like for 5 seconds. But I was like, that was it. That was our fatal flaw.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I'll do one then. Here's my relation to that story. This wasn't like something bad that happened on a trip, but we were, this shows how much I want to, you know, move forward no matter what the circumstance. We were at SeaWorld, and the kids were, this was when Katie was little, but all the kids were pretty little. And I was with at the time it was my mother-in-law and sister-in-law and her kids, and then me and Katie. It was like a girls' trip or whatever. And so I was all about everything. I wanted to go everywhere because, you know, sometimes the guys will hold you back and not do all that stuff. So I wanted to ride everything, go everywhere, do all the extra stuff, you know. So we get to this one part, and Katie's so excited because she loves beluga whales and she loves all the North Pole kind of animals or whatever. And so they had this brand new exhibit showing all those kind of animals, and you could choose, do you go on the action ride to see this, or do you just go on the static ride? Like, and you don't have very much clue of what that means, so you have to choose which line to get in. And you know how lines are at theme parks. Once you choose, you've got to stay in line,
right?
So it's some sort of way to get to the animal, to see the animals, like some entertaining thing. So everybody else was hesitant. Let's just go on the static one. The kids are kind of small. And I'm like, no, we're here. We got to go on the action ride. I don't know what they called it. We got to go on the action version or whatever. And they're like, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't think this one, I'm not going to use names, but I don't think this one would like it that much. I think they might be scared. I think we ought to just, you know, take the safe route. And I'm like, no, we're going on the action one. Come on, it's going to be so much fun. Blah, 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 blah. So I talk them into it. We go in, and you go walk into like a movie theater. And I was like, oh, but the seats are really big. And I was like, So we go in, we sit down, and I was like, oh, this is going to be so cool. I mean, I was just like over the top excited.
Laura's an over the top excited kind of person.
And there were like extra seat belts and things like that in these chairs.
Oh, no.
Almost like a roller coaster. And I was like, that's weird. And so then we're looking around. We're like, I think this is like one of those motion rides, like that's supposed to feel like a roller coaster. And my sister-in-law was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what this is. She's like, I don't think they're going to like this. And right about the time she said that, it went, and like the lights all went down, like at a concert. Boom, boom. And the lights all went down. And they locked the doors.
Oh, no.
in this little enclosure that we were in. And they were like, you know, they made this big announcement. Okay, it's a motion ride. We're not going to be able to stop, you know, everybody stay where you are.
Oh, no.
And, you know, take all the precautions, put the seatbelts on, lock your, you know, basically like terrifying instructions for what is to come. Katie's like four. Just big enough, I guess, to hit the motion thing. And so basically, I'll make it shorter. Basically, what happens is you are in a simulated helicopter crash at the North Pole.
Oh, no.
Which is really cool, but not if you're four. I mean, I've got the Mother of the Year award for that one. They were terrified. They were terrified. And not only was it motion, but it was like, I don't know what do you call it, 4D when stuff's happening? So it was like spitting snow at us, and it was wind and all that kind of stuff. So you were like about wet and then wind. And it was, you know, like you physically crashed into the ocean.
Was it cold in there?
Yes, it was cold. I will never live that one down. They screamed and cried and clutched on for dear life. I mean, because it was simulating the crash. Yeah. So that
they should have had some sort of disclaimer.
That's my story. You know me. I probably just looked right past the disclaimer.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So, you know, and you know how you are. It's your in-laws. You're like, oh, my God, they're gonna kill me. Oh, so yeah,
what a great story.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I don't really have any stories like that. I'm a pretty cautious person.
So Sam, like Jamie, you know, she gets up there in the snowstorm, but she's like, my God, we're going to see the Grand Canyon. That'd be me.
I like have things planned out pretty well, and I try not to let the gas get too low.
I know.
I feel like I'm pretty cautious.
You're real good.
Yeah.
You're the good, steady one to have on the trip.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. So we have two more voicemails to listen to, but we also have one that was emailed to us, and they asked us to read it because they didn't want to leave the voicemail, which is fine. So
and it was probably a good strategy on her point. She probably got cut off is probably what it was.
Probably so. So anytime you want to do that as well, if you would rather email us a story or email us a question, we can do it that way. We can read it for you and you don't have to have your voice on camera.
And I asked her permission and she went back and said, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. Yes, you can use my name, say who I am and, you know, do that on the air.
So do you want to read this or do you want me to read this?
I'll read it.
Okay.
Okay. Because I had to read it to figure out what was happening.
Okay, great.
It's Anjo Gal.
Okay.
A-N-J-O.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's her YouTube name.
Okay.
And what is her real name? But anyway, that's who it is. That's all you need to know because that's how you would know her on YouTube.
It's Kara.
Yeah, Kara, a.k.a. Anjo Gal. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, ladies. I'm emailing because I have constant interruptions and a voicemail just would not work in my case.
I understand.
Anyhow, here's my story, which, by the way, I used for a short story project in 7th grade, 1982.
Oh, nice.
What I'm about to share with you happened in 1981 when I was just 10 years old. I got an A+ on my project.
Nice.
My parents were in the antique business. So were my aunt and uncle. My father often sold at local flea markets with my uncle on Sundays. My parents did many mall shows, sometimes sharing a double booth with my aunt and uncle, 24 by 12 back then. Yeah, they're a lot smaller now, right?
True.
In 1981, after months of planning and researching what shows would be where, all of us went on a road trip. So it's another road trip story.
Great, great.
So it's a theme.
Good deal.
Me, my parents, my aunt and uncle, and my cousin. The small Catholic school I attended allowed a month-long excursion with my family on the grounds that I would write a few papers about things that I saw and learned along the way.
Well on you, Catholic school system.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's great.
Boy, that's in capital letters. Did I see and learn things?
Oh.
My aunt and uncle had a massive brand new Chevy Suburban. That thing puts today's standard SUVs to shame. I still see one on the road now and then. They used to be huge. Do you remember that?
I remember, yeah.
So, let's see. Yeah. So between my parents and aunt and uncle, they packed about 12 banana boxes with some antiques. It was their plan to stop at some antique shows, carrying a brown bag into the shows in an attempt to wheel and deal.
Ah.
Said brown bag was my dad's old army backpack, equivalent today to today's extra large college backpacks.
Okay.
So that's about the size they were talking about.
Okay.
This is something my grandmother would totally have done had she ever heard of such a thing. Right. I mean, she was the wheeler and dealer of the family, no doubt. Okay. So our first stop was St. Louis, Missouri. We stayed at cheap motels for each stop, of course. So my aunt and mom stayed with me at the motels while my dad and uncle went to the antique shows. Our next stop was Texarkana. That was for just a few hours, though. Then we pushed through to a town called Mount Vernon, Texas. Again, cheap motel, but this time with a little diner attached to the motel.
Okay.
Okay. That's that. Remember, that was always a thing.
Yeah.
You know, you had got up and went.
Like the Hojo.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. I love a good motel.
Laura loves a good Hojo.
I do. I love a good motel. I would rather stay like in a little motel with the door to the outside. It freaks them out all the time. They don't want to stay in a hotel motel with a door to the outside.
Well, do you want to know why? Do you want to know a story about that?
Yeah.
So when I was, sorry, Kara, just a second. So when I was younger, I sleptwalked a little bit.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did. And so we were on a softball trip. And of course, when we went on our softball trips when I was a kid, we stayed in cheap motels too.
Uh-huh.
Well, one night I was sleepwalking and tried to walk out the hotel, and I would have had it not been for the chain. And I would have just been out there somewhere, in the world.
Out in the world.
Sleeping and walking, out in the world.
That's what you would have been doing.
So they freaked me out a little bit, because what if I started sleepwalking and went out in the world somewhere?
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, true. That's why they freaked me out.
Well, it's funny that she's explaining that her mom and aunt had to stay with her in the hotel room and not leave her in the hotel room. Do you know people used to do that? See, she's 1982, so before that, like in the 70s, people used to do that. And I know. I just my friend and I were little like that, and went to. Anyway, she. I'm not gonna tell that. I was just trying to decide if I was gonna tell it or not.
Okay.
But my friend went. Her mom took her to Memphis.
Okay.
And left her in a hotel room to go out and about.
Yikes!
All at night.
Yikes.
Yikes. So people used to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, Kara, I'm glad your mom didn't leave you in the hotel room. Okay, here we go. So, let's see. Because we rolled into town later in the evening, we just got our suitcases and turned in for the night. While my mom and aunt were getting everything settled, my dad and uncle went out to the vehicle to shift some stuff around, getting that brown bag ready for heading into Fort Worth for another show.
Okay.
So that's usually the way, you know? The guys are out fiddling around with how the shit is packed in the car, thinking that they, you know, have ruled the world by shuffling around the suitcases and stuff. Probably out there smoking or something. Okay. That's what they're doing out there. So the next morning, everything was packed, loaded back into the vehicle, while my mom and aunt took me into the hotel diner to get a table so we could all sit down for a nice breakfast. And she said, instead of going to McDonald's.
Okay.
When my dad and uncle joined us, the entire restaurant fell silent.
Oh, no.
The waitress waited on us immediately, and our food was served in about 5 minutes. Things were weird, though. Everyone was looking at us, even the kitchen staff, who were carefully peeking through a small window on the swinging kitchen doors.
Oh, no.
After all was said and done, we got on the road to Fort Worth. You know the saying, don't mess with Texas?
Yeah.
Within 10 minutes of being on the interstate, a couple of police cars were following us from a comfortable distance. We didn't think anything of it. Another mile or so down the interstate on the opposite side, we see 4 more police cars get on. As they proceeded to cross the grassy median, the cars behind us were now on our asses. And we then saw another 3 cars coming straight at us.
Oh, no!
They had literally got on the entrance on our side and swung around to block us from going any further.
Kara!
Page 2. Hang on. Sorry.
We don't have time for you to to shuffle pages.
I know. We were forced into the grass on the side. My uncle was driving with my aunt and cousin next to him. Me and my parents were in the back seat. Back then, cops used to just go right up to your window. Not in this case. One cop got out of his vehicle, stopped at the back bumper, and waved at my uncle to get out. After about 5 minutes, my father decided to get out and see what was going on. Rifles from every direction were suddenly aimed at him and the vehicle. My poor mom, .. About 15 minutes pass, and we finally see some friendly hand gestures and a few chuckles. Soon we were back on the road. Here's what happened. The owners of the motel saw my uncle and 100% legal Mexican father switching stuff around in the vehicle. They automatically assumed my dad was an illegal and that a blonde-haired gringo was selling contraband to my dad. So that's why people were being weird at the diner, and that is why they called the police on us. Needless to say, we didn't go to Fort Worth. We just headed to Tucson, Arizona, where my aunt and uncle lived. Thank God my uncle explained to the police that my dad was his brother-in-law and that we were traveling to antique shows. My poor father, if he hadn't always spent so much time outside doing yard work, he was a workaholic and couldn't relax for 1 second, maybe his skin wouldn't have been so dark and this all would never have happened. Finally, even though my uncle offered to show the police what we had in the vehicle, the police said, nah. It's a good thing because under all the suitcases and banana boxes, blankets, snacks, and a couple of coolers, he had a briefcase that contained 3 pistols. That would have ended very badly. And according to my mother, she told me years later, I could have wound up in a home. Cheers from Kara and Togal.
Oh my gosh. Kara, that's crazy.
Isn't that a crazy story?
Wow. Oh my gosh. I would be traumatized, I think.
I know.
If I had rifles pulled on me from every direction.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Dang. Man, that's nuts, man.
That's so funny that they were going from antique show to antique show and like wheeling and dealing. That my grandmother so would have done that.
Yeah, that's wow.
I'm surprised she didn't think of doing that.
Man, thank goodness that could have gone a different way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It's also really infuriating.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. That's very infuriating to be falsely accused of something.
Like yeah.
Your skin color.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. It's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. I was falsely accused once.
Were you?
Yeah. So I used to work in Benton. And at the time, I had a black car, black rims that with dark tinted windows. I thought I was really cool. I probably was. But anyway, I would drive my car to the park every day and eat my lunch from work. I would go from work, go to the park, and eat my lunch.
What did you call your car that was...
I don't think I had a name for her, that fixed black like car. That.
Yeah, but what do you call it? I have to admit, I don't know. I didn't know this until I met you.
I've always heard that if you have like black on black on black, if that's what's happening, it's murdered. So I've had a murdered out car.
Yeah, I thought I was cool after I knew that.
Did you? So I've it was never all heard black. It was a black car, black windows, black wheels, black everything. So it was a murdered car.
Yeah, I just wanted you to tell that.
I don't know if anybody else says that or if that's just a thing around here. But anyway, so I was eating my lunch one day and this cop pulls up behind me. I'm like looking at eating my nachos from Taco John's. I'm like looking in my window, in my mirror, and he's like walking up really slowly and like looking at my car. And I like roll the window down and I'm like, yeah. And he goes, what are you doing? I was like, eating my lunch. He goes, yeah, I see that. And I was like, can I eat my lunch here? He goes, you can absolutely eat your lunch here. It's a public place. And I was like, okay. He goes, okay. I just got a call of a suspicious vehicle in the park. And I was like, I'm so suspicious here eating my Taco John's nachos.
That's really funny.
Yeah. So I got the cops called on me because my car.
I had a little incident like that. Did when you? I was driving back and forth to Murray to college. Murray is the state university that's closest to Paducah. And so on the weekends, I would drive home and drive back. It's only like 45 minutes, right? But the road that you go on, you're pretty much going to Murray if you're on that road, right? Would you agree?
Yeah.
So I think the cops get used to looking for college kids and stuff.
Right.
You know, going back and forth and doing stuff they weren't supposed to be doing on that road. And I had this little, I drove this little bitty car, convertible, and I got on a kick. I love to drink Diet A&W root beer. And I don't like
that. Who are you? That's weird.
Well, I don't like Diet Coke and stuff. And I thought, you know, in college, you're trying to be skinny. So I would drink Diet Dr. Pepper or Diet A&W root beer. And so it looked like a beer can because it looked like a silver, you know, what was in the silver cans that was beer at that time? Like maybe
Miller?
Coors, I think. Yeah, that's what, and it looked just like that. And so, man, he really thought that he had me and pulled me over and stuff. I was like, yeah, it's a root beer.
That's yeah, great.
That's my one little story.
That's funny.
My tame story.
Very good.
As Jamie is hinting at, I guess we'll get into some less tame stories later on.
Maybe so. You guys will have to call in some more risque stories for Jamie. All right, Kara, thanks for sending in your email. We appreciate that. All right, we've got two more.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Hi, guys. I'm Sandy from Indiana. I live near Terre Haute, and I really enjoy your show. But Mary Beth, you always talk about how you were art major, and I really would love to see some of your artwork. So that's my question to ask you, and we'll see you later. Bye.
Thanks, Sandy, for your voicemail.
Indiana's could be close to us. I don't know where Terre Haute is, though. I guess that's not super close.
Very close.
Evansville's kind of close.
So. Yeah. So, yeah, I was an art major. So I was a graphic design what do you call it? Like your area. That's your area.
Yeah.
So it was a graphic design area. But in so doing that, I still had to take tons and tons of other classes. So I took 3 years of drawing. Drawing was my favorite. I wanted to take painting, but I never got into it. I've never been a painter. I took a year of ceramics, a year of sculpture, a year of fibers. What else? Of course, 2D and 3D design, along with tons of art history classes.
What was that class where you had to make the sculpture out of trash?
My 3D design class. Mm. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, I had 4 years of graphic design classes. But I'll have to pull out some of my drawings sometime, or maybe I should do like a video of like a drawing video. Like I could be, what's his name? The painter.
Bob Ross?
Bob Ross. I could be like Bob Ross, but I could draw you a charcoal.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. My style is really kind of aggravating and, you know, aggressive.
Aggressive.
Yeah.
That's a good term.
Yeah.
She has an aggressive art style.
I do. Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's nice.
Yeah, but we'll have to do that sometime. I don't know where my art is at the moment. It's somewhere tucked away, but yeah, we'll do that sometime. God, I haven't drawn though in years. It's been years. I don't even know if I can anymore.
I can't believe you don't have any hanging on the wall.
Yeah, I don't here.
We need to remedy that.
Remedy that.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to our last voicemail of the evening, shall we?
Darn, okay.
Hi, girls. It's Melinda, Lavish Mango, and I screwed up my first message. This is my question. Which is farther west, Reno, Nevada, or Los Angeles, California? Bye-bye.
Is that a trick question?
I think so. Reno. I think the only reason that someone would call in and ask that is because the obvious must not be true. But I don't think I believe it.
Okay, Reno, so Nevada.
I'm going to say, I mean, surely.
So, okay.
Surely Los Angeles is the farthest west. Let's recap. I mean, it's here. On the ocean.
That was Melinda, Lavish Mango, right? Yes. And the question is, what is farther west, Reno, Nevada, or Los Angeles, California?
But I guess when you think about it, okay, when you think about
California, like
California makes this little thing like this.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's backwards on the
right. So if this is California, it kind of makes like a, and Nevada's tucked in there.
Yeah.
I can see your point, but if that was on a test, I would have said Reno every time.
Me too.
Let's look it up on a map.
Yeah, let's find a map.
Yeah, you will find a map.
Okay.
That's going to blow my mind when we see it really on the map. Is.
So should I look up? Let's see.
Just go to your Maps app.
Why?
Well, why? I don't understand the question. Why?
Well, I only use the Maps app to go somewhere.
Okay.
I don't know how to do that. You'll have to.
I can't use my phone because I don't have it on me.
You'll have to show me how to do it.
Well, here we are in the Maps app. And here we go, just zooming in over here. So there's Vegas.
I don't think I knew that you could do that.
Okay, so. Okay, so right up here on the line, basically, the line between California and Nevada is Reno.
Before Nevada makes that sharp angle there.
Yeah, and right over there. To the right of it is Los Angeles. I'll be. Man, I would have never guessed that, Melinda.
Let me see.
So Reno's up there at the top and Los Angeles is at the bottom. That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Melinda, you trickster.
Now, how can I be 50-something years old and really not know that?
Me either. I would have failed that class. That's crazy. All right.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Melinda, thanks for sharing that with us.
So basically what Melinda's saying is to us is if, you know, if we can go to Vegas, we can surely go to California.
True. True. Okay, so that does it, guys, for our voicemails this week. We had more this week. I think that was fun.
That was really fun. Okay. Really fun.
So I'm going to put the phone number back up on the screen. And if you're listening out there, you can leave us a voicemail, 731-335-6108, and we record our podcasts on Fridays and then we publish them for Mondays.
That's right. And you guys have really seemed to be enjoying this. We got lots of comments. So this week, if you enjoyed the video, please like the video and leave us a comment if you're watching it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just listening to the podcast, if you would follow the podcast, that would help us out a lot on those kind of platforms.
That's right. And if you're not subscribed to our channel on YouTube, we would love for you to come over and do that. We have a lot of fun. We have a show on Friday night called Flippin' and Sippin', where we have a drink, we sell a few items, vintage items, we celebrate the weekend, have a good time, and play some games. It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Also, hang out in the chat.
Yeah. Also, if you would like to know something to comment about, you could leave your favorite road trip, like where you went on your favorite road trip, or you can give our friend, was it Brenda that asked about the Louisville stuff?
I don't remember who
maybe
it was.
Maybe give us a few Louisville insider tips on thrifting and antiquing in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Again, before you go, give us that thumbs up. Come back. Come back next week for the next podcast. We're having a great time.
Oh, I can't wait.
All right, everybody. As always, make sure you stay tuned to see what Fat Bird finds next, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.